Welcome to The Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth, best-selling author and co-creator of PaleoParents.com, where we focus on real-life solutions for families seeking health.
I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne, New York Times best-selling author and creator of ThePaleoMom.com. I'm passionate about improving scientific literacy around public health topics.
I like hashtags and bone broth.
And I'm just a super nerd.
Welcome back, listeners, and hello, Sarah.
Hello.
We survived the week. How was your week? No, I don't want to say we survived the week. We thrived the week.
We thrived the week. Do you know what I'm really excited about? CrossFit Open starts this week.
What?
I mean, by the time this podcast goes live, like, I'll know what the first workout is, and I'm going to be, like, super excited and slightly intimidated. I do admit that over the last, like, 2 months, I've been doing this whole, should I sign up this year? Maybe I'll skip this year. What? Oh, but I just got toes to bar, and it'd be so nice to actually be able to RX toes to bar in a CrossFit Open.
You can't not participate in the Open if you go to a CrossFit gym, like, period.
Exactly.
That's silly.
As my coach said, you're going to do the workouts anyways. You know you. And I was like, yeah, yeah, it's true. So
such role reversal that you're like telling me about this. I'm like, for those listeners who have just binged, it must be like Twilight Zone, like doo-doo, doo-doo.
I've been getting me some really good gains at CrossFit. You know, the last, I would say actually the last 7 or 8 months have been like really, really awesome. And I tested a bunch of lifts back in January and they went really well. And then I've been continuing on my program and getting some really big, it's not like every single workout is a PR, but it really is like some really big gains. So, you know, it feels almost like every time I back squat, I add 5 pounds and I've got a new 5 rep max every single week. And it's been a really nice feeling. Like I'm really enjoying feeling strong, and I find that workout in the morning is so it's not just energizing physically, but it's very centering for me mentally, and it's really, you know, it's just become such a just quintessential part of my routine. And so when the Open comes, it becomes like this little, I know it's going to mix things up for the next few weeks, it's going to be a big challenge, and I get to see, you know, how far I've come, you know, in a different way compared to last year, because this type of challenge is a very different type of challenge than, you know, how much can I back squat or deadlift today, and how, you know, fast can I do 50 box jumps, right? So it changes things up, and I'm excited about it.
Well, I am also excited about it. I think it's also interesting as we balance our busy lives to make time for all of that kind of stuff, as well as work, or in my case, side hustle and work, and because this podcast and paleo and all that kind of stuff is like, I'm just calling it a side hustle. There is no category for it. Like it's not a hobby at this point, obviously. But anyway, I think, we often have the conversation on, you know, how and when we're going to record and what we're going to do, and making sure that we plan our lives around the goals and choices that we want to make. And I would like to kind of jump into our topic this week as we answer the question in general on balance. And I think that it's important to note that you and I have both had a different definition of balance through the 5+ years that we've been podcasting together. And people can go back and listen to hear what were our priorities and what did we do and how did we choose. So as we talk about this, just I encourage people to consider that where they are today will be different than where they are a year from now, which is different than where they were a year ago in terms of what their own goals are, because I feel like being productive, being balanced, and knowing where your goals are really tied together.
That's true. I've had like several questions in the last few days that sort of boil down to this idea of, how do you balance and how do you achieve these goals that I think sometimes, compete for our attention. And, when I mentioned this to you, you were like, yeah, that's a really interesting place to sort of like refocus our conversation. We've sort of talked a little bit along these lines on the podcast before, but I certainly feel like a lot of my strategies are different, and I know you're balancing a sort of a different collection of things now. So how about I read this question from Anne, and then we'll go from there.
I feel like I missed my opportunity to say, sounds good. Sounds good.
All right. So Anne writes, hi, ladies. I love listening to you guys every week and love your mix of science and fun. And
I wonder why her remind question people was chosen. I wonder.
And all of my options of this type of question. All right. Anne continues. My question is less diet and health related and more organizational and productivity. I know both of you are incredibly productive, and I am curious as to what your daily routines look like. Do you have a specific morning routine? How do you stay so productive day to day? How do you work on so many projects at once? And Stacy, how do you balance a full-time job and doing all you do with the podcast and books, or Stacy just said, side hustle? I'm very curious as to what your days look like hour to hour as someone who tries to be productive while balancing health. Thank you.
Ooh. Well, thanks, Anne, for thinking that we have our stuff together, because sometimes it doesn't feel like that.
That is the super secret.
Yes.
Is it's really nice that the perception is that we're balancing everything, but it doesn't always feel that way on the inside.
So I do think that there's a lot of truth to that, right? That like, I liken it to when you're a kid and you feel like, oh, when I'm grown up, I'm going to know everything. And then suddenly you're a grown up with kid and you're like, oh my gosh, like who let me have this grown up life? I feel like it's the same thing with taking on a lot of things and figuring out how I want to spend my time. Sometimes I'm in the middle of something and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? So, for me, I have learned about myself that I am very type A, I am very driven, and I will jump into things 100%, 150%, sometimes without thinking. And one of the things that I've had to learn over the years is that I need to stop and think. Does this line up with ultimately where my goals are? And is this the right time to be taking on this project? Would it make sense for me to do this differently or at a different time? How does it benefit others? How does it benefit my family? I literally had to train myself to think through those questions before taking on multiple projects at once, as she refers to. Because otherwise I will spend so much cycles and energy focusing on things that don't add value in the way that I want them to, or don't bring joy the way that I want them to, or don't help other people the way that I want to help other people. So I really have to think about what my goals and priorities are. And as a businesswoman, that's how we run businesses as well, right? Like you have an opportunity to do a lot of things with money that you want to invest in your business, but you have to prioritize. You have to say, what helps the business. And so I think of myself and my body, my health, the same way that I think about like a healthy business. If I want to be my best, then I need to take care of myself and I need to know my limits and my goals so that I can then give to others. Because I think one of the things we type A's do so frequently without realizing it is we give too much of ourselves and then we run out and we can no longer give to others the way that we want to. So in order to help others, we have to self-preserve. And so we talk a lot in the show, and Sarah can talk about it. It's outlined in the Paleo Approach at the very least, but I think it's in all of your books. Stress management is huge, and, mm-hmm. and learning how to manage your own stress so that you can help yourself first, so to speak. I can walk through the logistics of the day, but I wanted to address those general overarching concepts first, because I don't want people to see the perception of, oh, you guys are busy and you're doing so much. Well, we all have different people that help us, right? Like, I have a husband who stays home that helps run a lot of the business that we do here, as well as cook meals and run errands and different things that a lot of people don't have the advantage of if you don't have a parent that stays home. And I know, Sarah, you have a team of people who help with your blog stuff. And so, you know, this it's not to say that we're both not working a lot, because we're both working a lot. But, you know, there's perception and then there's reality, and it's learning how to craft our own reality in a way that helps support our health.
So let me add to some of those sort of big picture ideas, and then we can get into a little bit more specifics about some of our, you know, daily routines and priorities. But I did kind of want to emphasize one of the things that you said, and it's definitely applicable to me. I am very ambitious and very self-motivated. So I am a person who has big ideas, and I have a very clear vision of what I want to accomplish. And I have I like to think of it as a very strong work ethic. Someone else might call me a workaholic. But I really do, you know, I love what I do, and I love the, not just the day to day, but I love the direction I have. You know, some really big idea type goals with the work that I'm doing, and that motivates me to continue. And then I get my, you know, positive affirmation through social media, through, for example, the interactions I had with the AIP lecture series, students, meeting listeners, events. Those are the types of that personal connection and people sharing their stories and how my work has impacted their lives that gives me that very sort of tangible motivation to keep going. But really at the end of the day, I am very, very driven to work hard, and I make choices that prioritize work over a lot of other things. And so much so that over the last few years, I've had to make a really conscientious effort to seek better balance in my life, to carve out time for hobbies. And so that I actually have like scheduled time that are for hobbies. And I've had to create some really firm lines in terms of priorities for self-preservation or for health preservation that I maintain. I don't cross those lines, and that has to do with stress management, with activity, with sleep, with dedicated family time, which is very, very important to me as well. So the things that get sacrificed for me for the sake of productivity are things like I try to combine hobbies and socialization. So a lot of additional socialization doesn't make it sort of into my life. Typically, I don't spend very much time on social media other than creating content on my page. I don't spend time on social media. I don't watch very much television. You know, I don't have a lot of downtime. The things that I do that do feel like downtime, I might like listen to a podcast or an audiobook while I'm cooking or while I'm driving. I try to find ways to sort of sneak in some of that type of fun into my life. But I would say that, you know, I've really structured my life with efficiency in mind, so that, you know, even my downtime is very concentrated downtime, and then my work time is very concentrated work time. And then the other secret is that I'm just a very efficient person. So when I am working, I tend to get a lot done per unit time. And I've been like that pretty much my whole life. And I think that is one of the reasons why, you know, I think it ties in with, I mean, not just intelligence. I think it, those can go hand in hand, but not necessarily. But I think that I've always been a person who can sit down and get a really large amount of stuff done in a dedicated hour. And I'm also very, very good at using little bits of time. So in my day, you know, especially because I work from home and I still have young kids at home, I end up with 10 minutes to work here, 15 minutes to work there. And I've got different tasks that I do when I have 2 straight hours to focus versus 10 minutes, but I'm able to kind of jump around and use that 10 minutes really well, or use that 2 hours really well in something that requires more focus. So I think that just having the natural ability of being a person who is very productive per unit time when I work is something that definitely has helped me be able to carve out time for other things. And I think it's linked too. So also when I prioritize my sleep and I prioritize activity, I definitely notice that I'm more focused when I'm working. So I think there's a little bit of a give and take. I'm very efficient with my time, but that efficiency also comes from some of the activities that I do to preserve my health.
I too have to carve out time for myself for certain activities and actually put like calendar reminders. I have a very active Google Calendar that's shared with Matt. And there's like the most little things on there, like share this on social media for him and different things like that, because I need him to take care of it. And he's a very forgetful, great, wonderful man. and so that, I think that active calendar and communication helps us kind of focus on the different activities that we need to do. I think the other thing too is I block out my calendar a lot. So I have downtimes, I've planned downtimes that I do search social media and I do watch television. I have always been a TV junkie. My bachelor's degree is actually in social criticism because I focused on evaluating pop culture for women's studies references, like feminism and stuff like that in popular culture. So I am like very obsessively into pop culture and movies and TV and stuff like that. And it's one of the things that we do as a family. We play a lot of board games together and we also really enjoy watching shows together and then talking about it later. So I schedule that time. And in order to schedule that time, I need to be productive and get what I need done, what my goals are during the times that I block them out. So for example, there are weeks of my month that are very busy or days of my month that are very busy specific to the work that I do with Beauty Counter based on the cycle of just that month. And so I block out the days of my month that I know are going to be really important for me to be available for those tasks. And I don't plan things like extracurricular activities or new blog posts. And I make sure that my meetings at work are not scheduled late in the evening if I know that I'm going to need to do other work. So for example, today, I did not do a very good job of that because work was very, very busy. I was intending to leave earlier because I had an event to take care of, and then I had podcasts to record, and I did not leave myself time, as I had intended to when I got home from work, to spend with the family and to eat dinner with the family. I literally walked in the door, and I had 12 minutes before I needed to get on the computer upstairs after leaving the computer at the office. So it's not to say that it goes perfectly either, because things come up, but it is important for me to kind of block out, knowing I put it all in the calendar before the month begins. Like, okay, these are going to be the times that I'm really busy. And it's the same way with my professional job. I know that I have times that are very busy. There are certain times of year that are very busy for me, that I don't take vacations. I don't, you know, plan big events or travel or different things like that, because I know that I'm going to be busy with that stuff. And I think really thinking ahead and planning and knowing where I want to be, what my goals are, what my commitments are. And then if I plan it all out on the calendar and I'm like, whoa, this is too much. Like, I can't, you know, have spring break and this requirement and this commitment to this person, I have to figure it out and I have to pull some things back. And that was the hardest thing for me to do, because as Sarah said, you know, I am also a workaholic. I am a very goal-oriented person. And if I set a goal for myself, like, there is nothing that will keep me from accomplishing it. Like, absolutely.
I have actually really struggled with that. Actually, in my like initial attempts to, I was like, okay, I'm going to achieve work-life balance and I'm going to do these hobby things. And then like all of a sudden I felt like I was spread way too thin. Yeah. And it wasn't even just like, no, before that it was like, it's not that I'm bad at saying no to people. It's that I literally come up with all of the things myself to do. Like, yeah. It's all comes from me. This would be a great project and this would be a great project. And I want to do everything all the time, all at once, immediately. But then I was like, okay, I've got to work on this work-life balance, and I'm going to take this class and I'm going to join this club and whatever it is. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, now I'm spread too thin in this other way. And for me, it's been trying to find that balance where, you know, I'm carving out enough work time to continue to achieve these things that I really want to achieve, and then carving out enough hobby time to get that time out of that house and the social time. It's for me, the things that I do are just really fun. And so it's like laughter time. So it gets to be sort of a stress management in that way. And then still make sure, you know, that my family's getting a lot of quality time with me. And then there's still time to get enough sleep every night. And that formula has definitely been a bigger struggle for me in terms of the give and take, to make sure that things like sleep and activity don't get shortchanged, because that is society as a whole does this. I mean, this is our classic of, I sleep with whatever time I have left at the end of the day. And I've done a lot of research on sleep. It's why there's such a hefty chapter on sleep and paleo principles. That's why I wrote the Go to Bed online sleep program. You know, it's a really important input to health, one that probably is equal to diet in terms of how it affects our short and long-term health. And because of not just all of that like science information that's in my head about the importance of sleep, but because I've known about myself since I was about 6 years old that I am a person who needs a lot of sleep. I am a sleeper. I feel it very, very quickly if I'm having a lot of late nights, if sleep is not making it enough onto my to-do list, that I'm getting at least 8 or 8.5 hours every single night. And then as soon as that, it becomes then that slippery slope, because for me, if I'm not getting enough sleep, that I'm not getting as much done, that's very stressful for me. The biggest stress for me always is a long to-do list. Like, for me, if I'm really stressed about work, the best thing for me to do is to sit and work and tick stuff off the list and get stuff done. Like, it doesn't help me to take an afternoon off and go to the spa for a half day. Like, that doesn't help my stress level. What helps my stress level is, okay, here, I got these things that I've been worried about done. And so if I'm not getting those things done because I'm too tired and I'm not focused, then that's a stress. And then when, if I'm stressed, I'm not sleeping as well. I'm not getting as much out of my workouts because physical stress and psychological stress are additive. And it tends to spiral out of control. And it can be such a simple trigger, as so much as like, oh, well, I had this work to do today, but I also had this hobby time booked off today. So I have to be really proactive about how I schedule my weeks and how I have to plan ahead. You know, I'm going to be out this evening for, you know, a hobby. So I need to make sure that I, you know, get these things off my to-do list 2 days before so that I make sure that, you know, work deadlines don't butt up against, you know, when I have to leave the house to go do this other thing.
Okay. So on a practical perspective, I talked about Google Calendar being one of my most used tools. I actually use Google Gmail type integrated products a lot to work with my teams between Matt and Crystal, who supports us on the blog and newsletters, as well as with the Beauty Counter team, which is like 150 people. So that's, I mean, I don't know, for those of you who manage people, like communication is one of the biggest difficulties, and I don't want to say time sucks because I value the time that I spend with them, but it can become really cumbersome. So the tools that I use are the Google integrated products and then also instant message services. And I do this both in my office with my employees as well as my team in my side hustle. And that enables me to have like one conversation with multiple people instead of having one conversation 8 times, which is like not the most efficient use of my time. And oftentimes people ask questions that others would benefit from. And the other tool that I use that same way that I really love and I think is underused and I would highly recommend people check it out is the Voxer app. So if you have a lot of people that you need to communicate with that aren't directly around you, Voxer is amazing because it's like a walkie-talkie text messaging service. And it's a free app that you can download. And I literally just walkie-talkie voice messages to people and they can listen to it when they have time, or they can voice message me and I can listen to it when I have time. So at my lunch break or in the evenings, because I, you know, have a full-time job. So those tools and resources have been really useful for me, and sharing with people, like this is another thing that I think logistically is really important, is be upfront with people about your expectations and your time commitments, what you can and cannot do. And I have had to tell people, Sunday is my family day. I go out of my way to spend time with my boys where I do not have a computer in front of me. Of course, I'll be using my phone because I am a 21st century technology person. And, you know, for whatever reason, but my face will not be in my phone the whole time. And I will not be in front of a computer emailing people or planning things or doing stuff like that. And the more that I set those expectations, the more people are totally okay with if they send me an email on Sunday. It actually has started now with, hey, I know it's your off day and I'm totally fine with you responding this tomorrow, right? Instead of what I used to feel like, because I'm a type A obsessive goal-oriented person, is I'd get an email on Sunday and I would feel compelled, like I was, you know, affecting that person negatively if I did not respond immediately. So with setting those goals and those expectations with those around me who are needing me for whatever reason, I think it really helps manage my stress and my time and really recharging, because where Sarah's a sleeping person, I am a recharging person. So I really need time. I really need downtime. I'm an introvert by nature and I need to be able to disconnect and snuggle with my boys or, you know, do whatever it is where I am not confronted by all the things that I take on most often. And then like, honestly, all I need sometimes is 10 minutes, half an hour, like little short burst and I'm good to go. And I mean, Sarah and I were the same way when we were on book tour, like we'd leave a book tour and we'd just sit silently next to each other for a while.
True.
You know, you need to decompress. And I think it's important to build in that time for yourself, depending on, you know, what your needs are, or what your stress levels
are. Sometimes just curl into the fetal position.
Yes. Not that book tour made us curl into a fetal position.
No, it's it's that I'm an introvert as well. Yeah. And it's, I'm an outgoing introvert. So I really love being on stage, I love public speaking. Being on stage is my hobby that I've been alluding to this whole podcast. I really love performing. I really love public speaking. I really love events. But an extrovert would be energized by all of that activity and social connection, and I'm drained by it. So at the end of it, I really need to just be by myself and preferably not be touched by anybody. And I just really need decompression time. And that is, you know, the heart of a difference between an introvert and an extrovert is, you know, the source of your energy in that way. And I love it. I value it. It's wonderful, but I can't, you know, I'm not capable of continuing at that type of pace for days and days and days on end. Like, I really need every single day to be able to have that, alone time to be able to recharge.
Okay. So from a logistics perspective, because I'm trying to be efficient here, trying to move through day to day, hour by hour. So I'm just going to run through this really quickly. And I'm going to assume that this is a work day for me, right? This is not like a Saturday where I'm working, but I'm not actually working. So just to be clear. So I actually sleep in until 7:25. It's amazing. I have my oldest son gets up for middle school at 6 a.m. and Matt gets up with him. And Matt is delightfully quiet and respectful when he gets up to get Cole up and to get Cole out the door. And he doesn't come back into the bedroom until it's time for the rest of the family to wake up at 7:25. And if I did not stay up so late, I wouldn't need to sleep in so late. But you're going to hear that I stay up until past 11 o'clock most nights. So I need to be able to get my 8 hours of sleep. And that means that I sleep until after 7 o'clock. I work 5 minutes from home, which is amazing. So I can get up and get out the door really quickly. So I'm woken up at 7:25, and my rule is I have to get out of bed by 7:45. Sometimes that means that I lay there and I stare at the ceiling. Sometimes it means that I go back to sleep and Matt comes back at 7:45. And sometimes it means that I catch up for the day, looking at my phone, checking emails, checking social media, answering texts that have come in from the West Coast while I was asleep, which often happens. Different things like that. I give myself that 20 minutes. And so I get to use it however I'm going to use it. And then once 7:45 hits, I got to get up and I got to get ready for the day. And I get out of the house by 8:20. I have a really quick morning routine and I've learned how to be efficient with that. So I actually take Finn to school in the mornings because he goes to a different district than the other boys. He's in an immersion program, which is not in our regular school district. So I drive him to school, which is actually really great for my schedule because it makes me have a really strict routine. Like, I have to be out of the door at a certain time, and I know that I'll be in the office at a certain time. So I drop him off, I get to the office, and I work. I do my regular day job until lunchtime when I take a break, and I usually catch up on anything else that might be happening in my life, different calls that I need to make, personal perspective, or from the side hustle stuff. Oftentimes, this is when I'll answer Voxer messages or text messages that have come in during the day. And I give myself that like 30 to 45 minutes while I usually eat at my desk. I would say I eat at my desk like, how many work days are there? Like 21 in a month, like 20 out of 21 days in a month, I will eat at my desk. And then I work the rest of the day in my day job. And then I come home. We have dinner at 6:30 every night. So if I come home before 6:30, we hang out as a family, we play board games, we do whatever, but I try to always be home by 6:30 so we can have dinner together as a family. And then, we eat dinner. The boys are actually responsible for cleaning up after dinner, which is the time saver. For those of you who don't have older children yet, trust me, your time will come. And then we hang out as a family. And so that evening time is really important for me to reconnect with the boys because I'm gone almost all day. And I don't do much during that time. Phones aren't allowed at the table. We spend time together. And then once the boys are in bed, I work again. So in the case of podcasting, it's the only night that I start working before the boys are in bed because we record a little bit earlier than the boys go to bed. But it's the only night that I work while they're still awake. The rest of the nights, Matt and I will then wait for them to go to bed and we'll work together on stuff, whether it be, a blog post or answering emails or different things like that. So, and then I also throughout the day, check on my social media and do different check-ins. Like you'll often see me on Insta stories and stuff like that in my work office. And that's because I'm taking either during lunch or taking a break, coming back from the bathroom, something like that. And a thought occurs to me and that is how I get my efficiency, my productivity. And I just take care of it when it happens. And then I move on and I focus on the other stuff that I need to focus on. So, is that hour by hour? I don't know. I mean, the other
thing. That's close enough.
Yeah, the boys go to bed around 8:30, 9:30, depending on which one they are and, how generous we're feeling. So in order to get the work in after they go to bed, it's usually an hour to 2 hours that we're working before we then start to wind down for the evening. So that's why I am often not in bed until after 11, but my rule is I need to be ready for sleep. So not coming up to the bedroom, but ready for sleep at midnight so that I know that I get at least 7 hours. But most nights I try to make that be 11 so that I'm getting over 8 hours. Those are my goals. And then I take naps on the weekend because Sarah says naps are good.
So my hour to hour, my alarm goes off on a weekday at 6:15. I wake up to a light alarm, which is a very nice sort of pleasant way to slowly wake up, but I still tend to hit the snooze. So I still tend to grab that extra 9 minutes before I get out of bed. And then most typically I get dressed into workout clothes, go downstairs and make myself a cup of coffee. And then usually my husband's up, 15 or so minutes before I am. So he's usually already downstairs and he gets the kids breakfast. So I come downstairs, I get myself coffee. I help, if the kids need anything packed in their bags or whatever, usually they can do that by themselves. But then I practice piano with my youngest in the morning. So we usually get most of her piano practice in before school. She sometimes has a few things left to do afterwards, but we've found that she's just so much more focused at that time of the morning and I'm so much more focused. So it's been much better for her. We leave the house about 7:15, 7:20, and I drop the girls off at school and then I keep going to the gym. So I go, straight from home, throw on my workout clothes, take the kids to school, go straight to the gym. And I start working out by 7:30 and I'm usually at the gym until 9:00. I actually work out with a personal trainer now because there isn't a 7:30 AM class, but also because with autoimmune disease, working with a personal trainer has been a really great way to dial in the intensity every single day for exactly what I need that day. And we've been working together for 2.5 years. So it's been a long time and it's been really fantastic. So I'm usually done around 9:00 and I come home and then I usually finish my coffee because I don't typically get it all in before I leave the house. And I typically start working still sweaty and gross because I work from home. I work in, I work in my office is in the, it's a split level. So it's on the bottom level. It's not really a basement. I sometimes call it the basement, but it's not it's a dark, disgusting basement. And I will typically start working I will typically work until I'm hungry. And then when I'm hungry, I will get up and grab a quick breakfast. And that's typically when I'll shower. But I will often have days where showering is, because I don't have to work in an office, showering is a very like minimal, I don't like spending a lot of time if I don't need to look good for a social media, you know, Facebook post or something like that. I tend to throw my hair into a messy bun, throw on a little mascara, and basically make sure that I don't stink. I try to spend as little time doing that as possible. I'll often use my Juve, which I've written about on my website. And I do tend to have my phone with me while I Juve. That's when I'll go through email, I'll go through social media, and I'll sort of get caught up on the things that are sort of easy to do one-handed at that point. And then I go right back to work. I work pretty much straight until the kids come home. I have a late breakfast, so I'm usually not particularly hungry for lunch, although some days I am, and if I am hungrier, I eat. But I tend to have very sort of like finger food, grab it quick and be able to eat at my desk type lunches. I pick up the kids from the bus stop at 2:30 in the afternoon. On a day that they don't have after school activities, I usually take the afternoon off. That's when I'll cook a much bigger dinner. You know, I'll cook a couple different things. I might even like cook something that's like a breakfast food for breakfast the next morning at dinner, just to make things easier. And I'll hang out with them. You know, they'll be doing their homework. My other daughter will practice piano. But I tend to be much more around them, and I tend to do a lot more sort of kitchen centric things, around the house those days. If they do have after school activities, I drive them, I drop them off, and I come home and I use that time to work. So if they're at their after school activities, I'm usually taking that time to work. We always have dinner at the dinner table as a family. And then after dinner, my kids typically don't have a ton of time before they have to get ready for bed. They're in bed. My youngest is in bed at 7:30 and my oldest is in bed at 8. And then I very typically would work another 1 to 2 hours after that. You know, if I'm feeling like I've had a really productive day, and then sometimes I'll take the night off and my husband and I will hang out, and sometimes we'll watch a movie or something like that. And then of course a couple evenings a week, once the kids are in bed, that's around the time that I leave the house and, go off and, laugh hysterically on a stage somewhere. I typically start winding down for bed around, 9 to 9:30. Every once in a while, it'll be a little bit later if I'm butting up against some kind of deadline. But I try to always have the light out. Podcasts, for example. On a more relaxed night, I start getting ready for bed around 9. But there's probably half the week it's actually closer to 10. And I always try to have the light out at 10:30. So what ends up happening is, on a night where I get to wind down around 9, I just have more time to read or have a bath or hang out and visit with my husband or all of the above. And on a night where I've worked later or I've gotten in from my hobby, at 10 o'clock, then it's a little bit more of a, you know, like rush, get in my pajamas, wash my face, brush my teeth. And then I typically, you know, have to sort of have do something fairly meditative, read a book or something to wind down, because it's a more sort of, rushed bedtime routine, which is not ideal. And I don't consistently see that my sleep is worse off those nights. But if I am going to have a bad night's sleep, it tends to be one of those nights. And then rinse and repeat. Alarm goes off at 6:15 in the morning.
I should probably have noted that I am super lucky because Matt wakes me up and makes my lunch. And I just want to say that I totally get that. But also, that's like his job. Like, that's what we've agreed upon as part of like what he does to help the family is, you know, the less time I spend doing those kinds of things, the more time we have together. So, if there are things that you guys, I just like a plug for marriage in general. I think that there's like, you know, or spouse or partner or whatever. I just think if there's things that one person is better at than the other, or one person is more innately, easier or able to do than the other. For example, Sarah, you cook dinner because your husband is still out. And in my case, Matt makes me lunch because he's awake from having gotten Cole up. Like, there's no need for us both to do that. So there are certain gives and takes, I think, in every partnership. And it's really part of productivity, efficiency, and balance is learning how to use the strengths and balance off of each other from those people in your lives. And so it might be your spouse. It might be someone you work with, right? Like, you might be doing a job that somebody else is much better at. And maybe you think about how they could do that job and you could take something else because they'll be more efficient at it. And I just think in general, I'm a very like efficient, goal-oriented, process-oriented person. So I have a tendency to find those things and utilize them to help other people balance their own workload, so to speak. So it's just my general plug on like, be nice to each other, be friends, help each other, all that kind of jazz.
No, and it is true because I do all of the cooking, but my husband does, you know, all of the cleaning up afterwards. And so that's a time typically, you know, my girls and I will all leave the dinner table. I mean, the kids have to clear their dishes, but I don't have to clear mine because my husband does that. And then I, you know, they go up and start getting ready for bed and I get to hang out with them and have that quality time with them. So that becomes time, you know, when my husband is cleaning up the kitchen that I get a little bit more focused time with my kids, especially on a day where they have after school activities. I don't see them all that much between school and dinner time. So it's that give and take is a really important thing. And that partnership, even when it's, you know, like my husband doesn't do anything to help out with anything that I do, like that he has his own career. He doesn't help with the blog or the books or anything, but he does support me in other ways. So, you know, the other thing is because I don't necessarily get enough time to work during the week, I always work at least a few hours on Saturdays and Sundays. So I don't actually ever take a full day off. And he's really key on making sure that I get at least a few hours of dedicated work time on the weekends by doing more cleaning around the house, taking the kids out to go grocery shopping, you know, those sorts of things that can make a really big difference in terms of just creating a quiet environment for me or carving out a chunk of time. So that aspect of partnership definitely should not be underestimated.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure there's lots of things we forgot, but hopefully this was helpful and given you lots of ideas to think about. And of course, I just want to reiterate that busyness is not the goal. Like, I think there are some really great quotes and stuff like that on the internet about this that might be good mantras to share with yourself. But to be too busy and to be overwhelmed is not the goal. It's good to be balanced. It's good to be productive and efficient. But as you've heard Sarah and I talk about, we each focus on aspects of our own lives that we bring in order to create a less stress recharge time for ourselves. And it looks differently for each of us and it'll look differently for you, but it's really important to not feel like you need to be busy. You need to be working. You need to be overwhelmed because that kind of chronic activity and chronic stress can really be detrimental to your health, especially if you have autoimmune disorders, but really for anybody. I cannot say it enough, but recently found that stress is a, you know, contributor to the top 6 deadly causes in America. And so the less stress we have, the better for our health. And finding ways to be productive and get your goals accomplished without being overwhelmed or being busy is really, in my opinion, the goal and the ultimate achievement for your own personal success.
Hear, hear.
Well, thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this podcast, it was a little bit different for us, which was kind of a nice change from the intensity of last week. But if you liked the show, we'd love for you to leave us a review, share on social media, help us spread the word. And of course, you can find us on our blogs, thepaleomom.com, realeverything.com, and support us by shopping. Any of the links on our blogs is greatly appreciated.
And thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
I had to click the like call answer button like 3 times. I was like, no, I want to answer this call. I want to, no, answer it. Dang it. Answer it.
It's not a good omen to start the show.
It's my computer doesn't think that I should be working now. It thinks I should go to bed.